Maybe it's because...
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I keep turning my head, so I'm writing. That's why.
Okay.
And then we'll see if that isn't the case. Let me know. No, what I was saying was you have your own website for your other books, like the cookbooks and the nonfiction books and so on. Or should
I
have everybody?
Emily at EmilyLucchetti.com for my home web, my personal website that has So Who's Counting on it.
Very good. Okay. So what I was very interested in, we're not on the air yet, but now we have our air time, so we'll take 1 minute. What I was very interested in was how accomplished you are in writing and how you decided to write this book. Yes, that's your story. But also, and I don't have to bring this up, but I will tell you that your person intrigued me by saying that the book was not selling that well, whereas your other books were, you know, hotcakes. And I find that to be true. It's happened to me. I'm trying to open everybody's eyes to the fact that age is a great topic. And they shouldn't shy away from it, and it's a lot of fun. So I don't know if it's so.
I'm having a hard time hearing you, Adrian.
Adjusting the mic while I'm talking.
Okay.
Not any better.
Yes, it's a little better. Thank you.
That is better?
That's better. Emily, can you hear?
I'm having a hard time hearing.
Yeah, no, I can hear. I was having a hard time, too, but I think it was because you were adjusting the mic and you were turned away before.
He's continuing to adjust, so just give us a second. Okay, now this has been adjusted again. How does it sound?
Much better.
Good.
Okay, good. So that was what I was going to ask you, though. Is it all right for me to say that this hasn't been going like hotcakes and enter into a discussion of why you think there's a resistance here?
That having a discussion about how it hasn't been selling, is that what you said?
That's what your PR person wrote. She said, you know, it hasn't been covered that much.
No, it hasn't been covered that much, but it's selling pretty well. I don't think we want to say it hasn't been selling.
I don't want to say something negative that doesn't make a point. And because we do have a point here, and that happens very frequently. Very accomplished people come on, everything's been great, and when they go and delve into anything that has to do with aging, they find that there's a stumbling block. People have less interest. And I think it's because they're scared. They just don't want to look at this topic.
Yeah. I think one of the things that's the most interesting is when we do book signings and with a group of people, people are buying like 10 copies for their friends or 2 copies for their friends, that kind of thing. Where, as you said, to get on a list necessarily of to get it reviewed or things like that, then not so, and it hasn't been as, widespread, but it's selling well kind of it's selling really well in a grassroots way.
Right.
And, you know,
so
it sells a lot in gift shops too, as opposed to somewhere like Amazon. You'll find it more selling, you know, at front desks and little bookshops and gift shops and places like that. Also, what was interesting is when Emmy and I came up with the idea, and we went to a publisher that I had published with before, and just with like a very sort of just not vague, but you know, a basic idea about a quote book, they snapped it up immediately and said that they were so interested in doing more aging books.
Hello. I'm actually on the phone now because we did have trouble with the mic. I heard everything you said, by the way. And that is a point that I would like to make. I do feel that the press underrepresents anything that has to do with this topic. And as you said, the public wants it. Now,
right.
Although I have, and certain other things like financial and so on, people do have a very hard sell when they try to ask people to prepare for their older age. But that's a different topic. So now I understand what your PR person said. And
right. Also, because it's a quote from Adrian, it doesn't get the same kind of...
Now we have to let him fix the mic. Go ahead,
okay.
Sue. Go ahead. I can go ahead.
I was
through
just
the phone.
Say
no,
that,
I don't hear you through the phone. No, I don't hear you through the phone, Stuart. I hear Erin and I hear Emily, and they hear me.
Yep.
He's trying.
I was just going to say, because it's a quote book. You know, as opposed to a novel or a piece of, you know, regular nonfiction, Adrian, you don't find that kind of a book reviewed as much. You might find, a short little squib in a magazine, a newspaper, things like that, which we procured. But as far as big reviews, it just doesn't happen for a quote book.
Okay. So now we're going to take 1 minute because we may be doing this. The sound on the phone is good. But let's see if we can get a better one and give him a minute. Yes, I'm in. I know it. Now, the only thing to tell you is there are commercials, and what happens is... go ahead, Stu. Talk again.
Can you hear me through the phone?
Yes, I can hear you, Stuart, now for the first time through the phone.
Is it Tinny?
Yes, it's Tinny, but it's all right.
It's all right. Okay, then come back.
Okay, so we're going to go on now. What I was saying to you, Erin and Emily, is that I know when music is going to start to play, and then it tosses over to a commercial, and then we have a chance to talk a little. You won't know when that music is happening. So you may hear me talking a little bit longer because I don't want you to get cut off. But should you hear music, just finish your sentence. And that's
okay,
it.
Okay.
And of course, we can edit it. We can do whatever we need. All right, Stu, so how do you want me to operate now?
Give me the phone back. We're back to the baby. Let's see. Yeah, put your headset on.
Now I'm at my regular, usual mic. And yes?
Not as well as when you were on the phone.
No. Okay, come back and do it on the phone. And then go with it. Now we're doing the store drop in. Seconds.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Adrian, stop. Stop. I'm having definite problems, so hang on, okay?
And Aaron?
Yep.
Yep. This is very, very unusual. I apologize. I have no idea what's happening.
Okay, Adrian. Now it's a drag.
You begin to see what I do, but yeah, we're going to try once more. You think you fixed it? Okay. He thinks he got it.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And it's going to be a very, very, very fun day because we are speaking to two authors who got together to write a very fun book. It's called So Who's Counting? The Little Quote Book About Growing Older and Still Kicking Ass. Now, I've been intrigued with this book for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's one of those lovely little books that you can take care of all your friends with as they reach their different birthdays. It's a terrific gift book. But also because of the word kicking ass. Some of you may know that about 10 years ago, I went through a self-actualization course to determine what did I want to do with the rest of my life after I stopped practicing law. And what did I come up with? I wanted everybody to have a kick-ass old age. And here they're doing it. So this is Erin McHugh and Emily Lucchetti with us today. Thank you so much for being with us. But let's just launch this with you, Emily. You got together. It isn't easy to write a book together, but you must have bonded with a friendship on this issue of aging. Tell us your story about getting to write this book.
Well, the funny. Good morning, and thank you for having us. The funny, really funny thing was that we didn't really know each other very long, like 2 weeks before we decided writing this book. But we got together because we both had a very big love for writing. I wrote cookbooks. Erin can explain all the different kind of books she wrote because it's very vast. And we just got onto the subject of aging and how annoyed we were that people just looked at us so differently and they thought that, you know, our lives were over and they were kind of questioning, as I say, when are you going to wrap this up and just kind of sit to the side? And so we just said, okay, let's write a little quote book on aging. And it actually wasn't difficult to do, even though I was in California, Erin was in Massachusetts, because that's where we both live, and we would spend a week researching quotes, and then we would get on the phone, and we would just start talking about the quotes. And the beauty of them is we would start talking about them and what they meant and the person that said it, and you'd end up going down this rabbit hole of chatter and discussion and things. So we would spend hours on the phone. So this was back and forth and back and forth, and it was really quite lovely, and we were, I think, both a little bit nervous about writing a book with someone else and not having our own say on everything, but it went very smoothly.
Yeah, so that brings up one point that I would like everybody's listening. Most of the people listening, Emily and Erin, they have a book in their heart, and they think it's really difficult. And collaborating, there's nothing more wonderful than collaboration. One of the books we have that I'm always promoting is called Why Walk, and it's written by a personal trainer and an illustrator.
and they did the same collaboration, just what you're talking about. Now, I just opened the book, and I opened it to one of my favorite quotes here, because it affects my life. And it's Anne Quindlen's quote, "A finished person is a boring person." So I want to go over and speak to Erin about this. Now, you know, Emily says, oh, you know, you got to ask Erin how many books she wrote. You live in many worlds when it comes to being an author. Tell us about that.
I do. I have spent my whole life in publishing, Adrian. I'm in Massachusetts now, as Emily said, and I grew up here, but I had moved to New York for 42 years and just came back home a year ago. And so in that whole time, I was in publishing, so mostly I was in the book industry, but in my 50s, so we know that's not, you know, just getting out of college and starting out. In my 50s, I decided I had been in the industry for so long, but I decided I wanted to write my own books. And so I went to a bookstore, and I went to Barnes & Noble, actually, and it became a bookseller on the floor so I could get insurance and cover myself. And I started writing books, and in 15 years, I've published 30 of them. And they've been gift books like this, and history books, and kids' books, and inspirational books. So I'm a little all over the map. It's whatever catches my interest at the time. It's not so easy. There have been plenty of proposals that I've started that have gone nowhere and have been rejected. But you know, I keep plugging at it because it's something I love.
So I want to ask a little bit about ageism in this context. I'm also an author. I have a lot of books out. People wonder, how do you do it? But you do it. If you're, somebody once said to me, a writer writes. That's it. A writer writes. Whether anybody reads it is another story, but a writer writes. So I have not found ageism in the field of being an author. I have found it in almost every other field that I'm in, like broadcasting, law, and so on. In fact, a lady told me the other day, she was 52 and she graduated from law school, could not get a job. Nobody wanted a young associate, so she started her own practice. But in this field, I have not found ageism. And that's why I encourage people to sit down and write their book. But I could be wrong. Emily, Erin, I'll throw this out to actually either one of you. Have you found that? Have you found that you're getting less response from your publishers as you age, or is it age irrelevant?
Erin, do you want to go? Or
You go first.
Well, I would say the interesting thing about this book is that we've found that it sells really, really well when we do kind of a grassroots thing, when we get like an alumni group, when we get, I belong to a group called Les Dames de Scoffier, and it's women in the field of, you know, food, all kinds. When we do those kind of signings with targeted groups of quote-unquote older people, that people buy two copies. They buy 10 copies. They buy them for their friends. They buy them for their siblings. They buy them for, you know, just about everybody, and they use it as a gift because they're just so excited about the topic and the encouragement and the positive message about it. But as to your point, it is a little bit harder, and I think this also is has to do with the fact that it's a quote book, straight through. There isn't a lot of text and everything, that it doesn't get a lot of, you know, press play, I guess is probably the way to talk
right.
or tell it, the press play.
And
I would say that I know what you're saying, Adrian, and I think, sadly, that it has to do with being out of sight. So you are not going for being a 52-year-old going to an office for an interview. Do you know what I mean? You are sending a proposal to a publisher. In this case, of course, we talked about our age and what we found out there, because the very few things we sort of humor or gift books that we found on aging out there, we found really, really offensive.
Very
and nice. Self-deprecating, and that's why we hopped on it. But in most cases, if you're writing a book that's about history, they don't really care how old you are. They just care about the content.
So one of the things we're going to talk about in the next section is how this book, in my opinion anyway, and this is the greatest compliment I could give, really does fight ageism. You're absolutely right. When I talk, I do a lot of speaking, and I say, when you're old, you're in. You're incompetent. You're invisible, right? And the fact is that we aren't. we aren't. We are a very dynamic generation. And but you also have to be realistic. One of your Bette Midler quotes is, after 30, a body has a mind of its own. And I usually say, yeah, I usually say I'm 72, and some parts of me are still good. So it's you have to be realistic. Now, I just want to remind everybody who we are speaking with today. We're speaking with Emily Lucchetti and Erin McHugh. They are the co-authors of So Who's Counting? The little quote book about growing older and still kicking ass. And the fact is that it is a little book. It is a beautiful little gift book. It's a great book for your own shelf. It's the kind of thing that if you're weary during the day, you open it up and you feel good. And it can be profound because another wonderful quote is, every man's memory is his private literature. And when we come back, we're actually going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fact that life review is part of what we do as we age, and ask Emily and Erin what they want to do next as they review their lives. Not such long lives, they're pretty young chippies here, but by many standards, including mine. But I know that they're also thoughtful about their own future. And before we go, let's hear a little bit, if we can, about our new store that we're so proud of.
Hooray, our Generation Bold store is up and running. Just visit our website, generationboldradio.com, for access to unique products and services like luggage forwarding for your next trip, gorgeous Brazos canes and hiking sticks, Wander Club charms to commemorate your every adventure. I handpicked everything in the store to add fun and ease to your life. It makes a great gift, it's priced right, and it's of the finest quality whatever has been selected. All these items truly enhance my life, and I want you to discover them as well. Visit GenerationBoldRadio.com and see for yourself.
Okay, folks, we will be right back. Don't you dare go anywhere. We will be talking about life review, about making fun of our aging, because that is part of what we can do. That's called post-ageism. We're allowed to say things about being older. Don't go anywhere.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da.
Okay, so now that we got the bugs out, you see how it's going, all right?
Yeah.
Great. Great. So we're going to do the next segment, and I want to start with Emily on this one. When she was talking about how you don't have to just switch, you can, you know, use your skills as one of the things that she wanted to bring out, and then we'll keep going from there. Stu,
we're actually ready.
I would like to do the book club drop in this time. Yes.
I think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Fountain of Truth about what? Well, the Fountain of Truth about aging. And right now we're speaking to two authors who have been thinking a lot about aging, actually. Emily Lucchetti and Erin McHugh, and they are the authors of So, Who's Counting? The little quote book about growing older and still kicking ass. And if you look at the back of this book, which you're going to hold in your hand, it's a little fat book and it feels good too, older is getting younger all the time. Well, that's actually true, and let me unpack that in a little bit more scientific way for a moment. the fact is that we do have greater longevity. We all know that. We are living longer. But we are not living older longer. We are living middle-aged longer. That means that life pacing has changed. People are doing things later in life. They're even having kids later in life, going to school longer, having second and third careers, and doing things that you wouldn't do if you thought you were going to check out early in life. That's why longevity is so important. Harvard studies have even shown that folks who believe in their own longevity live 7 years longer. That's because of the way they take care of themselves, by the way. Not just because, you know, it's pie in the sky. It's because of real biologic things they do, because they expect to be healthy and they need to. So I want to ask you, Emily, when we were talking before the show, I said, you know, what is one point that you really want to bring out that I might not think of asking? And you said, well, I want to talk a little bit about multiple careers and how they really work. And I really want to hear about that, reminding everybody that your book is in Amazon, it's in Barnes & Noble, it's in the bookstores. You can get this wonderful book. But I think it's really valuable to hear the philosophy of the authors behind it. So what has been your philosophy of living longer, longevity, and doing many different kinds of things in life?
Yeah, and let me just preface this by, there's a quote in the book that's one of my favorites. It's by Diane Ackerman, and she says, "I don't want to get to the end of my life and find that I lived just the length of it. I want to have lived the width of it as well." And I think that's what we don't really think about, is there, it's not just a long straight road. It's going to go sideways many ways along the way. And when I look at my career, I'm a pastry chef, and I worked in restaurants for the majority, or not the majority, because it's time's moving, but for about 20 years in restaurants, you know, doing pastry production and designing dessert menus and things like that, which I absolutely loved. And I got to the point where I felt that I had outgrown that, but I wanted to stay in the field because I love food. I love feeding people, and it's such a broad subject. There's so much going on within it that I said, okay, what can I do now, but what can I do that's different? So a couple things. One is I started making chocolate, and when I say I'm making chocolates, I'm roasting the beans, and I'm grinding them, and I'm just making them into bars from, you know, the very, very beginning. And what I found so fascinating about that is when I approached it as a pastry chef and said, okay, I'm going to make my recipe for this just like I make my recipe for chocolate cake. And I realized right away that it's more like making wine, that you can't control the process as much. You just kind of have to go with the flow of it. And it may not be the same every time, but it can be good. And it was interesting because without getting too crazy, it was a little bit parallel of life. Is like you just have to go with the flow, and you can't control everything. Go with the flow and discover it. And once I let go of a lot of that control, I started having a lot more fun and looking and saying, gosh, there are many, many, many ways to do this. Just go with the flow and just have a good time. And the other thing that I've actually started doing is I started consulting for a Turkish fine casual restaurant group. Now, I know nothing really about Turkish food, but I'm just having so much fun just jumping in and learning as much as I can about it.
So, you know, one of the things that one word you just used I loved, and that word was outgrow. We don't realize it. We wonder why the same things that we were doing, or even our work, and we may be very successful at it, it's just not satisfying anymore. Well, it is possible to outgrow. And we don't realize that that is one of the benefits of aging, that we can change. And we do, sometimes without our knowledge, before our very eyes, and sometimes deliberately change. But when we do, it's a heads up. Maybe there is yet another road for you to take. And with longevity, there's time to do that. Now let's ask that same question, Erin. You have a voracious appetite for different types of topics. It seems clear to me from the kind of books you've written. So maybe you've gotten this kind of many paths out of your system by living in these different worlds.
I think not. You know, actually, many of the books I've written, the first five books I wrote were all together, and they were sort of like very sort of high-toned trivia books. So, and that sort of the little factoid thing has always been appealing to me. So that sort of, when you say that, it sort of spoke to me as thinking, well, I guess I'm just sort of interested in a lot of stuff. And there's always something new. Like this spring, I went to, last spring, in spring of 2019, I went and shut my way in, myself away in, out in Provincetown on Cape Cod in a dune shack that is owned by the National Seashore. There are a few of them out there. Some of you may have heard of them. And mostly artists and writers go there, but anybody can apply. And there was no heat, as a little tiny wood stove, which I was not so good at. And there was no electricity, and there was no a pump, a water pump out in the fields on the sand dune somewhere. And my pal Emily made me a lot of chocolate and a lot of cookies, and I just took food for a week, and I shut myself away. And there I started writing about a couple of different things that were also new to me, but they had to do with what was on my mind, Adrian. I was wanted to write about the fact that I had just moved back from New York, and I was back in my hometown. What is that sort of transformation and new path going to look like? I wanted to make sure that when I moved back to my hometown, that I had purpose and intent. And then I also did started working on a second project while I was there, which is about what is solitude and what's that like. It's not about being alone. And this, you know, when you age, especially for women who outlive men, you know, there could be a lot of solitude in your life as your friends begin to disappear, unfortunately. But loneliness and solitude aren't the same thing, and you want to make sure you use your time that you have to yourself, by yourself, the best you can. So,
well, I
don't know. I can't say what my next thing that I will be interested in will be, but I sort of can't wait to find out.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's a lot of things that we call the important items or elements of successful aging. One of them that is now picking its head and being discussed in the field of behavioral health is curiosity. That curiosity is actually very, very healthful. And if you can keep that curiosity, we call it naivete, not being naive, but being open, it really makes a very big difference about your attitude. And before we leave, I want to tell everybody, before we take a little break, there's a wonderful book called Solitude. It's one of my favorite books. And I have said many times, I've often been alone. I'm an only child. I'm very used to being alone. But I have never been lonely. There is a big difference between being alone and lonely. And isolation is one of the biggest issues of aging we have here in our culture and in many cultures. I don't want to pinpoint the USA as or Western cultures. There's plenty of isolation all over the world. I'm going to South America and I'm today, actually, and I'm looking at many different modalities of dealing with that kind of isolation in other cultures. But the fact is that you don't have to be alone at all. And if you are, you can actually learn to love it. And we've had wonderful books with regard to living alone as we age. So for those of you who don't know, you can go to our website, generationboldradio.com. You can give us your email address. You can get some hints and tips every week in our newsletter and heads up about our wonderful guests. And if you have a question or an issue in your life or a guest you'd like, just go to my website, adrianberg.com. We'll be right back. We'll speak a little bit more about So Who's Counting, the little quote book about growing older and still kicking ass. Don't you guys go anywhere.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay. So we're going to start with our book club drop in. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, we're going to start with our book club. This will be a little bit of a shorter segment. Great. Okay, good. So it is not a shorter segment, I just discovered, which is good. And we are we're going to start with a drop-in about books, that, and then we'll go to you. One of the things I did want to talk about a little bit is, although there's a lot of quotes, I'm sure you rejected many quotes as well.
Hundreds,
right. So I want to talk about that process. You know, what struck you and what didn't strike you when we come back, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Adrian, one thing that was on the other topic that we were just talking about before break is, you know, when you think about different things you want to do as you're getting older, I don't know if we want to go back to this, but for me it's not a function of time running out. It's more of a function of, I feel like, hey, what the heck? That sounds interesting. I have enough experience in other things. I'll be able to figure it out. So I think there's some confidence that comes with that.
And is this, I was just about to
jump on that same thing and say,
okay.
Emily and I talk a lot about the what's next of things. I actually get up in the morning when I put my feet on the ground, I say out loud, what's next?
Okay, good. So we will do that. We'll tell Stuart we're ready. We're going to do the drop-in on the book club, and then we're going back to our guests. Okay, Stu? Good. So now we're quiet again.
Thank you.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. So a couple of bookkeeping, let's say, or record-keeping items for the moment. Number one, we do have our wonderful radio shows every single week, but they're archived. So if you've missed anything, just go to generationboldradio.com and you will be able to hear hours and hours of these guests that are so insightful and so important, really, in issues of aging, from health, beauty, money, fun. The other is, it's your show. If you are interested in a particular topic or guest, that's how I get this information. So you go to adrianberg.com and ask Adrian for the kind of guest or topic that's interesting to you. So that's really important stuff. I also want you to know that I've been speaking everywhere. I just spoke in Connecticut. 360 people came, and they were expecting 200. And why? It wasn't for me. It was for this topic of aging. People really want to know. They're beginning to realize that there is such a thing as successful aging, just like being a success in anything else. You kind of have to work at it, but you want to do it in the right direction. So I want to tell you about a couple of books that help you do that. Let's hear a little bit from our book club.
Aging is trending when it comes to bestsellers. Check out The Longevity Economy by Joseph Coughlin, the director of MIT's Age Lab. The Longevity Economy tells the story behind the goods and services and technology created just for us, like CareBots and, yes, the driverless car. It shows how much we contribute to the GNP, but it also voices a complaint that companies are not making fun stuff for us. Don't treat us like a patient. Treat us like a consumer, says Coughlin. The second book I recommend is Disrupting Aging by Joanne Jenkins, director of the AARP. Ms. Jenkins reviews breakthroughs in workplace diversity, home health, and more generated by our longevity. She asks us all to view aging as a strength, not an inevitable decline, and registers a plea to fight ageism. See you at the bookstore, or better yet, at the library.
Okay, so we also could see you at Barnes & Noble or Amazon while you are online purchasing this wonderful little book. With my authors here as my guests, it's called So Who's Counting? The little quote book about growing older and still kicking ass. And we have Emily Lucchetti and we have Erin McHugh, two long-distance friends, both coasts, who wrote the book together. And they both said to me during the break, you know, I didn't feel finished with the question you talked about, which is what's next for us. And I was looking at a page in your book, Emily and Erin, it says, as old as you feel. Age is a state of mind more than a physical marker. Make sure you approach life that way every day. And really, what I want to hear from you, and what you seem to have a real grasp on approaching life every day. So let's first with Emily. What do you want to get out to the public so that they really understand how you operate?
Yeah, well, and I think I always think of the Dolly Parton quote, too, is I just don't have time to get old. But for me, I think, you know, when I look at what I want to do, I don't do it with a panic of, oh, my gosh, time's running out. I have to get going. It's more like, hey, what the heck? That sounds interesting. You know, I can figure that out, you know, and it's maybe something that, because you can use all your old skills that you've kind of accumulated from various different things and just, you know, cherry pick them to figure out this new thing, whatever it is that you want to do. And then you can, either master it or not. The other thing I think that is important is that I kind of have a list of things that I've always, you know, thought that I might want to do. And my attitude now is either do it or get it off the list. And one of the get it off the list was, like, I always said, I think it'd be fun to knit. And then I started knitting, and I said, you know, I really don't want to knit. I just like the idea of saying that I knit. And
right.
So once I gave that up, then I'm like, okay, knitting's off, and it's just I'm not repeating the mantra in my head.
So I'm a person who's very productive, and one of my favorite things is change your list, change your life. I actually do have a list, and as I have enjoyed life more, my list changed. And now I begin to deliberately change my list to only the things I really love to do and be in the zone. And what I ask people to do is people who say, you know, I can't make a contribution. I'm a great grandma. I'm wonderful. My cooking, I make my house nice, but I'm really not out in the world. How can I change that? And they're ready. They're ready to make a real contribution.
Mm-hmm.
I said, just do three things. Write down honestly what you love, not what you think you should love or what sounds good, but what you already know you love. Then ask yourself, who would it help? And then get out there and help. And when you start that, whether it's as a volunteer, whether you're paid, whether it starts in the family, it will evolve into something. And Erin knows this. Erin McHugh, the co-author of So Who's Counting, knows it because she talks about how she wakes up every morning and the what next aspect of life. So tell us a little bit about that, Erin.
Right. Well, and also to your point, Adrian, one of my favorite quotes from the book is by a man called Robert Breaux, and he says, "The older you get, the fewer things it seems too late to do."
Uh-huh.
And so that's always a good one. And recently, I said to Emily, we were talking on the phone, just chatting, and I said, "I know we're lucky, we're in good health, and that's number one." But I said, "I wish we could somehow relate to people." How surprising it! I had no idea how young I was going to feel at 67. It's shocking. And Emily is 62, and we met in milestone years. I was turning 65, and she was turning 60. And and now the years are starting to tick by again. But it's amazing. And one of the things we both agreed on when we started talking about aging is that. In the morning, I actually wake up and I put my feet on the floor and I say out loud, "What's next?" This morning, I knew what was next. It was talking to you guys, and that was going to be fun. And then I'm going off to. I have a part-time job, and it is as a book buyer at a local gift store. It's not a bookstore; it's a gift store that carries books, and it's just in a little village. And it is not. And I never really thought that I had one more job in the book industry in me, that there would be one available. So it's quite thrilling, and it's sort of it's made a difference to the people in the town, and in a smaller way than being in the giant industry in New York City, it has meant the world to me. And the other thing Emmy and I have said that we like to do is the many days are filled with chores or not pleasant things, but you always try to take some time to do one fun thing, no matter how short it might be. And you've got that in your sights as you wake up every day, that there's almost a little bit of a reward.
I've been looking at this from a personal point of view, from a public point of view, the whole world of retirement, which gives me the chills. Retirement and I are two. We are just not compatible. And I'm learning more and more that there are a lot of people who feel the way I do as well. So I was asked to write an article similar to what you're talking about from a group called Savvy Retiree. And most of these people live abroad. They live in different countries. They're expats, or they actually just travel everywhere all the time. And I thought about this in a realistic way. There are a lot of people that would want to continue to do what you, Emily, and Aaron are doing. Write, work, enjoy, you know, secrete yourself in a dune hut and write. Or what I'm doing, which is working very hard. What does it take? The question is, what does it take? And there's four things, I think, and when we come back, I want to see how you handle it. What is healthy? And I am not a genetically healthy person. My dad died when he was 40, and there's been a lot of issues, and yet I really work hard at health. The other is, they're going to think I'm going to say money, but I'm actually going to say sacrificing money. I could actually make a lot more if I continued to be a lawyer, but I don't want to do it. It's just like your list. I don't want to knit. Sounds good to knit, but I don't want to knit. And the other is family support. But the last is technology. The fact that you were able to write this book long distance also has to do with technology. And I don't want to hear anybody tell me that they're too stupid, they're too old, it's not for them, they didn't grow up with it. Don't buy into that. If you really want to continue working and yet have a free life, have freedom in your life, you really have to get wired. So that's my little spiel, because I want everybody to get out there and make life happen for them. We come
good
back.
Spiel.
Yeah, we're going to really talk about how you did it and how you feel about some of those four things. And the fact that it's the kind of thing that takes concentration. Successful aging is actually just like a success in sports. You have to train for it. When we come back, we're going to hear how two stellar authors and great agers train. So who's counting? The little quote book about growing older. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so in our segment here, I think people really do want to know the practicalities, and whether it's health, exercise, whether it's your technology, I really do want to hear how you do it, because people need, let's say, mentors or role models, I think is a better word. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Great.
You know, we wouldn't mind also, I think, talking about the language of aging and how debilitating that can be, and how society sort of uses it against us.
Great. I will make sure I weave it both in.
Okay.
And we are ready. So, right, and there'll be no drop-ins. We have a lot to discuss. Yes.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
And hello, this is Adrian Berger. It is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth about Aging. And we're here, we're talking about a book, and you know, we would say it's a little book. And why I say it's a little book? Well, the authors call it a little book. So who's counting? The little quote book about growing older and still kicking ass. It's a little book because what you put in your hand, you can hold it in your hand. It's beautifully done. It's a great gift book. You'll find it at Amazon, and you'll find it in Barnes & Noble, and you'll find it also at one of the author's own websites, and that's Emily. At Emily Lucchetti, and I guess I should spell that for you. And it's Lucchetti, but pronounced Lucchetti.com. But Amazon and Barnes & Noble, you'll be able to get the book. I want to talk about a dual issue. We'll start with Emily. And that is, what you do. I mean, you cannot really get up in the morning and live the dynamic life and curious life that you do if you're not healthy, if you haven't gotten your act together as a successful ager. And when I said I was going to ask you that question, you said, well, you know, I wouldn't mind talking about the language of aging, which I know could be negative. And yet, knowing all the language, you still get up and you make yourself a successful ager. And many people don't. They buy in to the language of aging. So how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, when it comes to aging, the one word that Aaron and I decided and made a pact to avoid and never say was retirement or retire. Because to me, it's so outdated. And it's like, retire, retire means going to bed at night, you know, that I'm retiring. And so you're on this planet. How can you just sit around just because you're not working and maybe doing the job that you did for a while? That doesn't mean, you know, anything. And I really liked your list that you made about the all your four categories. And the technology one is the one that hit home for me, too, because I, too, get so annoyed when people say, well, I don't know how to do that, and they get all nervous. And it's like you're so successful. If you were 18, you wouldn't even think anything about learning this. But I would say my things that I focus on are, one is I'm actually really lucky in that I sleep well. And so I make sure I get at least 9 hours sleep a night. And people are like, think that's kind of crazy. And some nights I even go to bed at 8:30 because I just want to wake up and be really fresh. And I know my freshest time is in the morning after I've had a good sleep. And I try to always do some form of exercise just to kind of keep things, you know, moving and keep, and because that also gives me energy. And I finally discovered, too, that I'm a very much a list person, and I love checking things off a list. So I'd say, okay, before I get to this project that I want to learn about, like how to make chocolate, I'm going to go pay all the bills on my desk and clean off my desk. Well, we all know as we get older, your desk never gets cleaned off. You never get to the end of your to-do list. So I finally learned to do the big stuff first and then go to all the little stuff afterwards.
It reminds me, I love to travel. I was in Australia, and I knew that somebody on our tour had Alzheimer's, and I knew it because I work so much in the field, but nobody else knew. And I spoke with her, and she said, I asked her if she had any travel suggestions for people. And she said, yep, take the hard trip first. And yes, it's a great metaphor. Take the hard trips first. Mm-hmm. Do the hard ones, get them out of the way. You'd be surprised how easy they really turn out to be. And for me, though, in that list of four, being healthy was very difficult. I was always an obese person. I had a very bad genetics, and then I discovered that only 18% of your health and longevity has to do with your genetics. 82% is in your control. So there's no excuses, and I got out, and I chose to be a long-distance walker. And I am a very long-distance walker. I could do 30, 35 miles in a day with
a
group. And yeah, and I love it. I love it. And I do maybe 10 on my own. But it took a while, and it took a lot of concentration, and it made a cognitive as well as a physical improvement, you know, in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to switch now to Erin, but I have to admit something, talking to these two ladies who already feel like friends. I'm very vain. I'm extremely vain. I have never passed a mirror I didn't look into. And this has helped me to age well, because I really... I want to look hot, even though I'm 72. So I do all these things. And it helps. It really helps me get up and look and say, as I said, I'm 72, but some parts of me are still good.
I also think what's really important, you know, I know we're going to switch here a little bit, but I think also what's really important about that is if whatever age you are, if you look kind of that you're put together, that you're taking care in your appearance, one, it does make you feel so much better. But I also think it makes you look younger to others in the world. Maybe, sure, they might look at you and say you're 65 or 70 or whatever, but they say, oh, this person is hip. This person has a good haircut. They're not like back in the past. So I think their approach to you is so different.
Yeah, I am the consultant, the skin care consultant for my 23-year-old hairdressers.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, so Erin, go ahead. By the way, retirement means
withdrawal. One of the other things we said at that time was we said, well, let's not try to say senior unless we're saying, I will take that senior discount, please. It's one of the words that's foisted upon us by society. Also, and again, with technology or with many other things, Adrian, you hear people say, you ask them to do something, why don't you, let's try this, and they'll say, oh, I'm too old.
Yep.
Or, you know, or even when you get up from the chair going, oh, that puts 10 years on your life, and you're hearing it too.
Yeah.
And so we try really hard not to say, you know, I can't read that menu. I can't read that menu because I need glasses. Everybody knows how old you are. Yeah, every time you use language like that, it affects everybody hears you, but it also affects yourself. You are self-identifying as somebody who, is not healthy, is not trying hard. You know, maybe hard enough to deal with what's coming your way. You say about being obese or being vain. When I turned 65, and as I say, I was living in New York, and I would like run across the street or up the subway stairs, and I would realize that I was my breath was short, and
uh-huh.
I thought this is not going to get any better. I'm 65 now. And so I went to Weight Watchers. 1, 2, 3. I lost 30 pounds in 15 weeks. I was religious about it. And that was 3 years ago, and I've kept it off. And then I came home to Massachusetts, and I realized I sort of hadn't really been outdoors in 40 years because I lived in New York, you know.
Right.
You go to
right.
the subway, you go to work, you go to the theater, whatever. So I took up yoga, and I took up pickleball, with which I'm now obsessed. And so just to be outside, so that's brand new to me. I'm sure a lot of your listeners play as well. But to go outside all the time and play with other people and socialize with other people who want to do what you do, and you don't have to be great at it, you just want to have fun. But to be out there working hard and doing a great aerobic exercise for a couple of hours is so rewarding and has changed my attitude, so I can hardly tell you.
Yep, I absolutely believe it. It's the same as my walking, and this is successful aging, folks, in action. As we end our show, so who's counting? Get the book, the little quote book about growing older. You'll love it. Great, great. Instead of those terrible business, you know, those cards that say you're over the hill, you know, as your friends reach 50, 60, and 70, give them this book. It's a much better idea. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and everybody else. Get out there, kids, and make it happen. Okay. That was really nice.
It was really
fun.
Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you
so
much.
You were sure on it. You are helping loads of people. I just know you are. Your attitude is great. You're so smart. You're saying all the right things and guiding people the right way.
Well, I first of all, thank you, because it is my mission. And the other is, I was just appointed. This is, I didn't get a chance to tell everybody. It's not official. I was just appointed the director of a foundation called Metabesity, and this is something that has only been with scientific researchers, pharmaceutical companies, and it was to break down silos between different researchers in the field of age-related diseases like cancer and Alzheimer's and so on. And they decided, such a strong organization, they decided to also break down silos between the media, the housing, the government, and financial institutions as it deals with aging. And so they expanded the foundation, and I'm so excited about doing this. I'm going away to South America today for a month, and then I come back and I really start that foundation. And I know there's a place for authors and folks who really get great message out to translate the beauty of aging to the public.
Well, we would love to help and be on board with anything you would like. That's important work. Congratulations.
It is. It is. I don't know where it'll go, as you say, but I know it's going somewhere. So thank you, and you'll get it.
And it'll be a fun ride. And it'll be a fun ride in the meantime.
Right.
Right.
And you
have
your
great trip.
Thank you. I just want to know, you, your PR person, will get the links. You can use this in any way you want on your own social media, and, of course, we do the same. Okay?
Thank you so much,
Amy. You bet. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.